Welcome to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for joining us this week. We will be talking shortly to New York Post media reporter Andrew Marchand. We're going to go around the horn and talk about a bunch of media topics, MLB playoffs, NFL, Monday Night Football, Jason Witten. We've got the NBA, Hubie Brown, A-Rod stunt in the playoffs, Brian Anderson. So we go all over the place in a tight conversation on the latest sports media news. Just want to thank everyone for the feedback on last week's podcast with WWE superstar John Cena. The response was tremendous. So many tweets about people who just enjoyed the interview and listening to it. It ended up becoming more conversation than interview, and people seemed to like that. They really liked what John had to say. It was very, it was a lot of life philosophy. And when we were done taping the interview, John and I, and we walked out of the studio before he had left the building, he said he felt like he was on the psychiatrist couch there for a little bit. So it was very interesting to hear him open up about everything. So if you have not checked that out, if you're a wrestling fan, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you may enjoy the conversation just to see what someone of that magnitude goes through. And obviously, if you care about wrestling in any way, shape, or form, please check it out in the archives, the SI Media podcast last week with John Cena. All right, we will now speak to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, and then next week we will have the next 2 weeks we have solid guests coming up. I don't want to give names away because schedules change, but we have someone from the NFL Network, pretty much the biggest person at the NFL Network next week, and then after that we have an ESPN person who I think will a lot of you will be very interested in that interview. Let's just say that. So that's the next 2 weeks. John Cena in the archives, so check that out. And now we do a little sports media news potpourri with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. All right, joining me now for a quick little media potpourri discussion, New York Post media reporter Andrew Marchand. Andrew, how's it going?
Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing, man?
I'm well, thank you. Bunch of good topics going on right now, but let's start with something absurd and ridiculous and near and dear to your heart. I know you're a big A-Rod fan. Was the whole thing with A-Rod in the Red Sox jersey supposed to be like funny or shocking? What was Fox going for exactly? Because I mean, I would never speak for all Yankee fans, but I don't think any Yankee fan gives a shit if Alex Rodriguez is wearing a Red Sox jersey.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit trite. I mean, I don't know. They've done that before. They didn't last year, or he's put on a Yankee hat or something. And
no Yankee fan thinks his A-Rod is this great Yankee that if he's in a Red Sox jersey, you're gonna be up having nightmares.
Yeah, A-Rod seems to like these kind of gimmicks. I mean, they did a good one with ESPN with the the Wahlburgers. It was pretty good with where A-Rod was making burgers there. It's kind of funny. I mean, again, still a little bit contrived, but it was. Better. I don't think you can do one of those every week. So I don't know if anybody really cared that. Look, Alex likes attention, so he'll do anything
right,
for attention.
But they were going
and
for
this
like
is the world that we live in. It's a good world for him. Right, but from social media, you can get the attention.
They were going for this thing like Yankee fans were going to be so devastated by this. I mean, no.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think Yankee fans really care. I mean, look. Here's the thing. I think. There probably were some Yankee fans who were like, what is he doing? I mean, here's the other thing. It's always A-Rod and Jeter with the Yankees. I mean, could you ever see Derek Jeter doing that? He would never do it.
Well, and also, like, that's the thing, though. Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera or Andy Pettit in a Red Sox jersey would sting. It doesn't sting if A-Rod's in a Red Sox jersey. But whatever.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, he doesn't come across as that's sincere when he kind of does the whole bleeding the Yankee blue kind of thing. Pinstripes, it's just a sort of, and this sort of encapsulates that.
Yeah. You're not one of the greats. Sorry. I mean, on the field he is, but he's not like in Yankee lore is one of the greats. I noticed you had a little bit of criticism of the TBS crew of Brian Anderson and Ron Darling on Twitter. Are they not, Andrew Marchand favorites calling the, they are calling
no,
the
I've always liked Darling. I mean, I think Darling with Gary Cohn and Keith Hernandez, that's one of the best local boots you're going to find. I mean, all the credit they get is deserved. I find, you know, and I'm not sure, maybe Gary brings it out more of Ron, but I found that Anderson and Darling have been a little bit boring. I think Anderson's very dry. I mean, for him to really work, I think you really need a kind of a lively color analyst on baseball, in my opinion. Now, doing the Brewers games, that's one thing. But doing the NLCS, it just doesn't have that big feel to me that some other guys have. And it's not because, you know, Brian Anderson, I hate the talk where someone hasn't done it, like they're not, they don't have the big name. I don't think you have to do it for 20 years. Just a sound, and there's some humor, and there's a little bit more that you bring to a broadcast that I think separates the guys who can really do that. I hear that, you know, with like a, you know, obviously the guys who are associated with that, Joe Buck, who I think is excellent, you know, Al Michaels, you know, and those type of guys. But, you know, there are other guys who haven't done it yet who I think have it. You know, Ian Eagle, Kevin Burkhart, those are a couple of guys that I think, you know, can be at that level if given the chance. You know, so I just don't hear it with that crew. It's solid enough in some regards. Darling's had his missteps, which I wrote a column about, especially in that Yankee series. But usually he's pretty good.
I appreciate Brian Anderson's style just because I do feel like, I feel like we're in this age now where we're inundated by so many over the top, overly excited announcers where I like just like to me it is a very solid nuts and bolts broadcast, and even from a production standpoint, they're not, you know, doing the ESPN nonsense of like showing the booth 50 times, or, you know, FS1 of course is giving you know camera shots up fans' noses after every pitch. I like the TBS, like I feel like it's calm and it's reasonable. It's not, I know what you're saying about Anderson. He's not going to go crazy, but I actually find it refreshing in a way. But I guess you want a little more during the playoffs.
Well, I just think also, all right, that's fine. I kind of agree with you. I don't mind that. But you can't miss storylines. I mean, the other night, David Price, game two, he's not won a game ever in his postseason career as a starter. And he's one of the best pitchers of his generation. And here he is. He's in his 14th or 15th start, I believe, and he's at 4 2/3 innings. He's given up 4 runs. He walks off the field, and the Fenway fans give him a standing ovation. Now, think about that. Boston fans give him a standing ovation. TBS barely didn't even mention it. You saw it a little bit. I followed people on Twitter, so they said it, and then I went back and, you know, rewound, and I think that's where, you know, I want, first off, they didn't really go into also how Alex Cora and Price wanted that out so bad. Now, let me make this clear. Obviously, the first goal is to win the game, and that's what they're trying to do, and that's why they took him out in that instance.
Right.
But you can't tell me, I know, I've been in those clubhouses, I've talked to all these guys, that they didn't want that victory badly, and that storyline was just absolutely missed by Turner.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, I don't know. Is David Price like getting a win really that big of a deal? In the regular season, maybe, but it's the playoffs. Like it's bigger than that. Who cares if, I mean, the team needs to win. Who cares?
But it's not that, I'm not saying no. It's not important. Of course, that's not important in terms of him getting a win the ability for him to move on next start, and that's off his, that monkey's off his back.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a huge. That's a huge thing, and you might not think it is, but if you're around the teams and you're around players and he knows he's never won a game, it just will allow him to move on, even if it wasn't even a good outing. And the fact is, the Fenway fans, he gave up 4 runs in 4 2/3 innings, and he scored 5 when he was in the game, so it looked like an okay start, but that's really almost a 9 ERA. So it's really a terrible start.
Don't you think it was more of like a, thank God you didn't, what do you call it? You didn't get killed in the second inning tonight. He has a standing ovation.
Yeah, no, it might have been partly that it was kind of like, you know, we're still with you. Whatever it was, I mean, it should have been discussed and shown. And it's like I felt like they missed a very big angle. Now, they did a good job with Severino in terms of, you know, spotting that possible issue. I think they went too far with that one during the you know, warm-up gate. You know, and that's what you want from a broadcast. And I just felt like that was one they missed. And, you know, that's on the whole team there. But I want to make it clear that I don't like the nitpick, which is an overall feeling. You're asking me the question, overall feeling, you know, that crew, it hasn't been great to me.
Right. One more on the baseball before we go to football and NBA. I'm not knocking the guy. You can never knock the guy. It's his decision. He doesn't owe anybody anything, and he's an untouchable. But would it kill Vin Scully to do an inning? I don't belong there. Yes, you do, Vin. Yes, you do. Throw us a bone. Do a couple of innings. It's like...
I think it's great. It's classy.
No doubt that it's classy. And he doesn't owe it to us. Like, why should he do it just to make the fans happy if he doesn't want to do... If he would say, listen, you know, I'm done, I don't want to do it, that's fine. But he says he doesn't belong there. It's like, what are we talking about?
Because somebody's earned the right to do the game.
Right,
I think,
Joe Buck
know,
has
again,
no...
Again, it's an inning or two, and I know Joe Buck's okay with it, but... I don't know. You know, and he hasn't done it all year. He might not be sharp, you know, doing it.
Doesn't matter. He will be
it
sharp.
It does to him. It would to him. Look, I'm not saying he would be doing this, but if he's fumbling around in that booth, it wouldn't be an enjoyable listen.
He did it for 100 years. 1 year off isn't going to make him fumble around.
Maybe. I mean, he's an older guy. I'm not saying he would or won't, but I don't know his physical shape right now. But it's not as easy as you think.
Again... It's the I don't belong there is what I don't like about it. Like, you know, you do it. You're a legend. You're the all time great.
You're saying like false. You're saying it's false modesty.
Well, I don't think it for another person. I would absolutely say it. I think maybe he actually believes it. And I'm disappointed. No one can convince him that he does belong there, I guess.
I mean,
we're not talking about something important like running the country or curing cancer. We're talking about one inning of a baseball game. It's not that important in the grand scheme of life. You could do an inning.
Yeah. I could go either way. I'm with you with that, but if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it. I don't really have a problem with it.
All right, let's go to NFL. I am shocked. Listen, whether you think he's good or not good, I've said this before and I'll say it again because it keeps happening. Forget whether you think he's good. I am shocked at a reaction to just bash Jason Witten during every Monday Night Football game. Where do you stand on Witten after 6 weeks?
He's okay. You know, anybody who buys this ESPN got him for the long-term BS. I mean, come on. That's hilarious.
Right.
Yes. Do they want him for the long-term? Sure. But they're saying that so to try to take the pressure off of him, and then you could say, okay, he's not that great this year, but we didn't get him for this year. We got him for 10 years, you know, 3 years, 2 years down the road. I mean, come on. They hired him. You know, everyone knew that it would be tough to be like Romo was his first year, but that's not where they hire him. To me, he's been okay. This is my issue, you know, with how, in my opinion, how people hire a lot of time for these jobs. What other job do you hire and you say, you know what, this is one of the top jobs of this, you know, to be a analyst. And so who are we going to go with? Let's go with someone with no experience, and let's pay him as much as almost anybody in the game. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I get it. He's somewhat of a big name. The other problem with him is he's a big name in some regards. He's not Tony Romo. He wasn't a quarterback. He's a tight end.
Right.
You know, you're someone who's not interested in football might know Tony Romo. They don't know Jason Witten. So, to me, that's a mistake there. And you look at how they got to Booger McFarland. They hired Booger McFarland because of what he says, not because he's a two-time Super Bowl champion, because most people don't even know that. So I think Booger was a better hire in that regard. Now, can Witten get better? Yeah, he could. But so far, he seems okay. He doesn't seem like, you know, a big personality. He seems like a nice guy. You know, I don't really want to crush the guy, but... and then you're saying, what's the reaction? I mean, social media, it's a different world. I mean, if you don't come out and hit three home runs, you're going to get killed, you know, and people hate you no matter what. I mean, like I tweeted out about Joe Buck the other day. Let me just finish this one thing, Jimmy. And, you know, I was like, whoa, I'm going to tweet this out. People are going to go crazy. And, you know, some people did. A lot, most people think he's good, too. But you know, some people, it's like you're making a political statement. It's crazy.
I just feel like the venom for Witten is a little over the top, given that he's only done six games in his life. Now, listen, maybe it's ESPN's fault. They put him, you know, it's not only that they give him the job. They give him the job, and then, you know, they promo, you know, the broadcast team.
Captain America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
Cassator is saying, you know, he's analyzing every analyst that was in there, you know, in The Athletic with Deitch. And, you know, I think from people in the, you know, why are you doing that? And then, you know, the whole, like, acting as if you're going to reinvent broadcasting with the Booger Mobile.
Right.
Booger said to me that, you know, I appreciate this. And I think it's good because they are paid to talk. But Booger said, you know, we're going to have more fun than other broadcasts. So I think that kind of raises the expectations. And I think the biggest issue with ESPN, and kind of what you're saying about Turner, just do the game. Just do the game.
Well, ESPN,
you know what I mean? That's it. Don't have to make it. Yeah, make it such a deal. Just do the game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's baseball, football. ESPN can't just do the game. ESPN cannot just do the game. It's those games on Monday night. I mean, I get a headache by the end of it. It's all over the place. It's just frantic. And I just want to be like, can you just all calm down a little bit?
Well, just cut down. They should have like half the meetings that they have. I mean, this is very inside baseball.
Did you
have like half, cut that meetings in half, do the game, and just be done with it. Because what happens is, if you talk to any broadcaster ever about their preparation, they will all tell you they do, you know, if you talk about 100% of their preparation, they use less than 10% during a broadcast.
Right. And
that should be a rule for anybody who's doing a game, to let it go with the flow of the game. And yeah, you might leave a lot of good stuff on the cutting room floor, and that's too bad. But that's not what I don't care about that as a viewer.
Right.
I care about what I see and let it flow.
Well, for the Packers-Niners game, what killed me is, like you said, they're in meetings and they roll out all the storylines and the stats and this and that. But no one in that booth, three people, no one says, you know what, this is to the point now where it's embarrassing. The Packer defense is embarrassing. This isn't even competitive. You know, you won't hear that. And that's what was going on. That first half, in the first half of that game, the Packers defense was pathetic and embarrassing. But they don't say that. They're going through all the other stuff. And just tell me what's going on with what, you know, I don't need all the, you know, what your production meeting stuff.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. Exactly. And look, they got a great rating because you had the Packers and you had a great game. You had a high scoring game. And, you know, ultimately that's what's going to drive the ratings, is what type of games you have. You know, they got a big one coming up a couple weeks with Kansas City and the Rams, and they'll get a big number for that game. And so, you know, you can put all the bells and whistles on. And also, I kind of feel like when you do all this extra stuff, you're trying to dress up Monday Night Football. And it's kind of big hat, no cattle. And I'm not saying that. They have a better schedule this year. But when you try to do too much around it, it's as if you're trying to hide that maybe Monday Night Football doesn't have the shine it once did.
Right.
And you're just trying too hard. And I think, I could say this a million times, put Booger in the booth. Have a three-man booth, even if it was agreed upon that, you know, try to make it so Witten can be in a two-man booth, if that was the agreement beforehand, that it was only be a two-man. And I think that ESPN wanted this, you know, Booger Mobile, but nobody's watching for the Booger Mobile.
Six weeks into the season, is there an NFL, you do play-by-play or analyst, person who works on Sundays, CBS, Fox, who you think is underrated or doesn't get enough attention or who should have a bigger spotlight?
Who's really good and should be getting more time.
Yeah, not the Bucks, not the Aikmans, not the Romos, not the Nances. You know,
I mean, look, the best team might be Dan Fouts and Ian Eagle. I mean, that's a really, when you have that team, that's a very strong team. I like Burkhart a lot. I mean, Charles Davis is pretty good. Let me see. The Arians crew, I haven't seen that enough yet to really give a full opinion on that one.
Right.
I saw a little bit with the Jets. It was okay.
It's okay if you don't have an answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to say. Who should, you know, why? I mean, there's like, you know, look, I'm a lot of times on red zone. You're going from one game to the next.
That's your problem.
And so,
all right.
So nobody yet has kind of stuck out as this is the next, the future.
Gotcha. NBA starts up this week.
Actually, I'll tell you one guy who actually would call it. I'm trying to think which game. I think Andrew Catalone had some good calls this weekend that I heard.
He's been much better the last couple of years with a two-man booth. They had him in a three-man booth early on, and he's much better in a two-man booth. He's actually a good listen on Sundays. He did the Chargers-Browns, I think it was, on this past Sunday.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I think it was.
I think.
Okay.
All right, NBA starts this week. How about Hubie Brown, 85 years old, signs a multi-year extension?
Yeah, I'm going to have a story coming out Thursday. I don't know when this podcast is. It's a two-year deal. He's a marvel. I mean, he's just so passionate about the game. He's a guy who, Hall of Famer. And, you know, he doesn't have the fame or the, you know, maybe cachet of a Vital or a Madden. But I think if you're an NBA fan, when you know when Hubie's doing a game, you like it. I mean, you're going to learn something. And I just like some of his Hubieisms. Again, they're not like Vital with the PCP ears and all the diaper dandies and all that. That's kind of a little bit about, you know, Dickie V. But the, you know, now in our league, you know, little things that he has that are just kind of natural are always something that just have stuck out to me. You know, he's kind of like I talked to Mike Tirico, who's his longtime partner. I talked to Ryan Rucco, who's his current partner. And, you know, they both use the word marvel, and that's he is. He's a marvel, 85, two-year deal. You know, he credits, you know, he's, you know, he's a good guy. Because, you know, I asked him, you know, why do you think you have this? And first thing he credited was his agent, Sandy Montag, who represents a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, and there's a, you know, there's a passion and a, for people and for the league.
I despise three-man booths with a passion, but it would be great 1 year. They're not going to do it, but it'd be great 1 year if they stuck him on the finals with Breen and Van Gundy.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good. I mean, again, I don't know if that's time to do, you know, shtick.
That's not shtick. He's the complete opposite of shtick.
Well, but I know, but you're kind of, I mean, well, what, you just tell Mark Jackson to go sit on the sideline?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, yes. But really what you're saying is you don't want Mark Jackson in there. You want UB.
There's no reason for Mark Jackson. If it was just Breen and Van Gundy, there's no reason for Mark Jackson to be there. You have to run. We've hit the time limit here, and you have to run. I know you got some things going on. Do you want to do 1 minute on Mike's app, or do you want to end this interview?
Give me one. I'll give you 60 seconds.
All right. So first question. Are you the one, because I saw the clip, are you the one who reported 300 subscribers? Who's he ready to kill over that?
Yeah,
report?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
I am not. I don't know who
I feel
reported
better now.
That.
I was nervous for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I did not report the 300. I don't believe that it's doing too well.
Oh, boy.
You know, look, do you think he's doing well?
No, but if you say that now, you know, we might get a little speech from Mike on FAN one of these days.
Oh, maybe. I mean, here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. He said that he can't reveal the numbers. You can reveal the numbers. Now, if he gave the numbers, would I even trust them? Probably not. But,
right.
But the bottom line is that he could reveal numbers. He's choosing not to. There's no, like, law. You don't get arrested if you release your download numbers and how many subs you have.
And
I mean, you know, I'm not saying some places do, right. Some places don't, but there's no law against doing it.
I have no issue if he doesn't release the numbers because, listen, I think...
Yeah, I don't care. It's up to him.
I think he can release them, but you really don't hear... Here's what you don't hear. You don't get subscription numbers, but you usually hear about downloads or something like that. Believe me, if the number was good, he'd mention it. He'd mention the number. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No. He'd mention it for sure. Look, he's not offering that much extra stuff. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing after the Yankee series. He, you know, the one time he said he was going to do after show after game two, he didn't do it. Then he was guilted into doing game three, didn't do one after game four. I mean,
So do you know? I don't have the app. So do you know, on average, in a week, 7 days in a week, on average, in those 7 days, how many days is he on the app doing a show that's not his regular FAN Monday through Friday 3-6 show?
Not often. I mean, he does the Sunday morning show.
Right.
That he does.
Right.
And then he said he was doing the Saturday show, and he kind of has JJ in there sometimes. I'm not sure if he does that every Saturday. But he's not. He's giving you the video content. And then...
you mean video of the FAN show?
The show, of the right. Actual free show.
Right.
And then, yeah, he's giving you like one extra show.
One a week, basically.
Basically, maybe two, one or two a week.
So for $9.
Yeah, but I don't even know if it's a full show. It's like an hour. It's not a 4-hour show, right. A 3-hour show. It's an hour or so.
Right.
And maybe the football show, I think, is 3 hours.
Gotcha. All right. $9 a month, you get one show a week, and then the football show, basically.
You have to really love Mike Francesa to subscribe.
Yeah. Well, maybe go get those numbers.
I'll try.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, Jimmy.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Talk to you.
Bye-bye. All right, my thanks to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. We always have to mention Mike Francesa's app at the end of all of our interviews. As everyone knows, Andrew's a regular, so I appreciate him coming on. And we'll see you next week. Good guest the next 2 weeks. I don't want to tease them, but I'll give you a little hint. We got an NFL Network person next week and a big ESPN person the week after that. So please, if you have not subscribed, subscribe. If you can leave a review, that would be tremendous. Leave a rating on iTunes. It helps immensely, and I'd appreciate it. All right, we'll see you next week on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network? Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.